Joshua 1, verses 1 through 8, a passage of scripture that I am sure you are familiar with, but it is good to point out some important things here. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea going toward the down, great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now again, we've already prayed over the scripture, so let's get right into the message. I want to preach to you a message entitled, The Secret to Success. The Secret to Success. Now, I want you to put yourself in Joshua's shoes here for just a moment. Can you imagine what an intimidating thing it was for him to take over the leadership role of the children of Israel? Number one, he knew that they were stubborn. He had watched them and seen them from the very beginning, but also he had to follow in Moses' shoes. Boy, what a difficult thing that would have been. So much so that if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy and look at verse number 10, as it describes the fact that Moses died in the wilderness rather than being able to enter the promised land, it says in verse 9 that Joshua took over. Then in verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since, speaking of Moses, in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Now, think about this. As it says here about Moses, that no other prophet was like Moses in the fact that God spoke to him face to face. That means that Joshua didn't get to have that same privilege that Moses had. As God spoke to Joshua, it wasn't the same type of speaking. It wasn't face to face. Joshua heard from God, but it wasn't like it was for Moses. All of the great prophets, Elijah, well, he was a great prophet, wasn't he? We think about him calling down fire from heaven. I recently heard a very good message about that. What a blessing that was. But even Elijah, that great prophet, or Elisha, who did, you know, double the miracles that Elijah did. Or what about Isaiah or Jeremiah, these great prophets, Ezekiel, who are great prophets, and yet they did not know God and have that same relationship like Moses did. And here's Joshua having to follow in the footsteps of this greatest of prophets, Moses. That would have been intimidating. And he would have wanted to know, how can I be successful in this task that God has given me? Well, God gives him here a secret to that success. And perhaps tonight you are intimidated by what God has called you to do, whatever that might be. Your ministry in others' eyes might be big or might be small. But whatever it is, it's the ministry that God has given you. It might just be raising your children for the honor and glory of the Lord, or serving in a Sunday school class or a nursing home, or it might be going to work tomorrow and trying to be a light and a witness and a testimony in the place where you labor and earn your money. All of those are ministries, and that might be the ministry that God has called you to, and others might see it as big or others might see it as small. It doesn't matter if it's the ministry God gave you, but it might be intimidating to you. By the way, if it's not intimidating to you, it should be. Because this is a big task, whatever God's given us. I mean, just take something as small as raising children. Boy, how many billions of times in history have parents raised children, right? It happens every day, all across the world. This should be something that as human beings, we've got down pat. And yet, again, if you've raised children for any length of time, reared them, I guess is the proper English, then you know that it is a very intimidating thing, especially when you want to rear them for the honor and glory of the Lord. Because you recognize it is a spiritual battle. It's not just a matter of rearing them in such a way that they can earn money and know how to take care of themselves, etc. You want to rear them in such a way that God would be glorified in their lives. That's a big ministry. Sunday school, the same thing. Listen, that's not a small ministry. I hope you realize, and I believe our Sunday school teachers do, what an important ministry that is. The foundational work that you are doing in the lives of young people or teenagers or young adults or married couples or the main class, all of those are important. It's important that people would know God's word. Remember, the Bible says, my people are destroyed, what? For lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That Sunday school is a big help in helping God's people to know what does God's word say so that they won't be carried about with every wind of doctrine and so that they won't be destroyed. These are big ministries. You going to work tomorrow is a big ministry. Being a light and a testimony. Do you know and understand how many people have been saved over the years? Their lives have been changed because they worked with someone who was a Christian, who had a good testimony, who shared the gospel with them on their lunch break, or maybe not. Maybe they just gave them a gospel tract one time or invited them to church and the door was closed and there wasn't much of an opportunity for a conversation. But the day after day after day after day, Christ-like living was like the hammer breaking the rock in pieces, right? God's word doing that. It is an important job and a ministry that you have. We ought to be intimidated by that. So what's the secret to success? How can I be successful in whatever ministry God has given me? Well, first of all, before we get to that, we like the idea of success, don't we? The Bible talks here when God is talking to Joshua, he mentions his way being prosperous. Boy, we want our way to be prosperous. I like it when I set out to do things and it actually works. It's by the way, one of the reasons why my son Caleb likes mechanics and those kind of things, and I'm glad he does. I do some mechanical work, but I don't like it. And the reason is it never works the way they tell you it's going to work. You watch the YouTube video and they say, you take this bolt off here and blah, 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 and you go to take the bolt off and it breaks. And so, it never works that way. I like it when my way is prosperous. When I set out to do something and boom, 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 one, two, three, it works just the way that it should. Well, that's success, right? That all the attempt that we would give in working for the Lord would bear wonderful fruit. Isn't it wonderful when we go out and we share the gospel and someone gets saved? Boy, we love that, right? Or when we rear our kids and we can see them taking a hold of the Word of God and they get saved in an early age and maybe they surrender their life to do whatever God wants them to do and they have a sweet spirit as a teenager or whatever, we like our way being prosperous. We like it when God's hand is obviously on our work. As a pastor, I love that when it's just obvious that God's hand is on the work and on things. It's wonderful to think about success. Well, God mentioned success to Joshua and his people in Deuteronomy 28. Can we turn over there quickly? Keep your place in Joshua 1. We're setting the groundwork for success, but look at Deuteronomy 28. Let's read the first 14 verses just quickly, because the success that the children of Israel were thinking about is a little different than what is successful in our eyes, okay? Because remember, they're dealing with a physical promised land. And we'll get that someday, but that'll be in the millennial kingdom when we rule and reign with Christ, okay? So we will really, literally get to inherit a land when Christ comes to rule. But until then, we're looking at more spiritual things, okay? So we can't relate 100%, but yet we can see an example here of what does it look like to be successful? Well, look at Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, reading all of that, we can get an idea of what Joshua would have thought about when God said, this is how you'll make your way prosperous. He probably thought back to what Moses said there in Deuteronomy 28, because that was said just a little bit previous to Moses' death. So he would have no doubt thought of that. And God promised success, and we like success. But what is the secret to success? How can I know that my way will be prosperous? Well, we know Joshua 1:8 very well. In fact, we sing it as a scripture song, don't we? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We know that verse. And oftentimes, if I were to ask one of us Christians here at Madison Baptist Church, so if I want to be successful according to Joshua 1:8, what is needed? And we would often say, well, you need to get into God's word. Well, and that's good, and that's partially true. But can I challenge you that that's not what the word of God says? It's not, the secret to success is not getting in the word of God only. The wording is important. And what is the wording? Well, let's look at, starting with verse number 6 of Joshua 1, let's rehearse this and see what the wording is. Joshua 1 and verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, and what are the next two words? To do, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, what are the next two words? To do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But the success and the prosperous way is not found in having the word of God or even hearing the word of God. The prosperous way is found in, and the success is found in, the doing of the word of God. The doing of the law in this case, obeying the word of God. And isn't that what Jesus said? Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew 7, Jesus said very similar words. Matthew chapter 7, let's start with verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, and again, therefore ties these two together, right? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The success, the building upon a proper foundation, is not found in the hearing of the word. It is in the doing of the commands. It is in hearing it with an attitude of obedience. That's important for us to understand, isn't it? When we think about the raising of children and bringing them into the house of God, boy, that's a good thing to do. We need to do that. And I thank the Lord that we have a church where, it's a blessing to have a lot of kids underfoot. And I know that sometimes they can get running around and, we got to be careful. We don't want to trip the elderly people, all right? So this is a good idea to keep an eye on our kids. But man, what a blessing to have kids running underfoot. It's a blessing. But you understand that having our kids here is not the end. Having them under the preaching of God's word is good, and we should do that, and I would encourage you to do that, and it would be a shame and a travesty if you came and you left your kids at home with a babysitter. You got to bring them, and they need to be under the preaching and the hearing of God's word, but somehow in that whole thing, we've got to get them to where they then understand to begin to do those things. And that takes prayer, by the way. That takes making sure that when we go home, we're doing the things that the word of God is saying. Because if we're listening to the preaching of God's word and we're saying amen and we love the church, but then as the word of God is proclaimed, then we go home and we do the opposite, then we're actually harming our children more than we're helping them. Or if we're complaining about the way the pastor says these things or this standard that the pastor has or that thing about the pastor or whatever it might be, listen, we're hurting ourselves rather than helping. So we've got to make sure that we do the word of God, because the success is found in the doing of the word of God. The book of James shares that with us as well. Let's turn over there. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, we'll start with verse 22. James 1 verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word." So again, we're in James chapter number 1, we're in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass," or you might think of like a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Boy, it is important for us to be a doer of the word. It's not enough to hear it. In fact, it's a shame to hear it and not do anything about it. It's like someone, again, getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror, and they see all the flaws that, by the way, that we all have, don't we? It's important for us to remember that. You take the most beautiful person in the world that you can think of, and listen, when they wake up in the morning, they don't look like that. They need some help, just like all of us do. And they, might have a makeup artist or whatever, or somebody, a hairstylist or whatever, that can do them up just right and they look beautiful. But they didn't wake up that way. Well, it's the same thing with you and me spiritually. If we're walking right and we're doing right, it's not because we're just naturally that way. It's because someone took the time to look into the Word of God and use it like a mirror and say, aha, here's a spiritual flaw in my out and in the way that I look. I need to straighten this up. And an obedience to the word is like covering that sin and dealing with that sin and getting it right and confessing it and forsaking it and cleaning up that blemish. And that's what helps us. It is in the doing of the word. Let's go back to Joshua chapter number 1, because I want you to see one other thing that's mentioned there in Joshua 1, still talking about the doing of the word. And we'll get to some more application here in just a little bit, but I want you to see something else. Not only did Jesus emphasize the obedience, and James emphasized the obedience. But notice what else the Word of God tells us here. It says in verse number 7 of Joshua 1, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." Now notice this next phrase. "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." And then it says, "that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." God is emphasizing to Joshua here, again, not only the doing of it means that you'll be prosperous, but the doing of it in a strict manner. Isn't that what that means when it says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left? That means follow straight down the path. Do not deviate from what this law says. If you want to be prosperous, you are going to follow it to a T. You will be a Bible nut. Not just a Bible nut to know what's in the Bible, but a Bible nut to, I am going to follow God's Word. I was just talking with somebody just the other day about children and the rearing of children. And we were talking about how sometimes when parents don't follow God's Word, which God's Word is clear, right, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And sometimes as parents, it's easy to go, I don't really like the idea of using the rod, and so I'm not going to use the rod, and I know what will happen, and here's what does happen. When the children are real little and the rod is not being used, it's a nightmare. But after a while, they grow up and social constraints keep them somewhat subdued. And so the tendency is for us to look at it and go, well, maybe the rod being applied isn't that important, because after a while, they just kind of grow into some maturity and do what is right. But wait a minute. Is God's Word right or wrong? God's Word is always right. So if God says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child and the rod of correction will drive it far from him, and yet I don't want to use the rod, and I think, well, after a while, they'll kind of grow up and out of that, and so I can use other things other than the rod to discipline them, and eventually they'll come out of it and it'll be all right, there's a problem. And the problem is that foolishness is still there. You see, the social constraints are going to keep them from, you know, whatever we don't want them to do when they're 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever. But I haven't dealt with the foolishness. And so when they're 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 30, 40, the foolishness is still there. And it comes out. And see, when they're 2 and 3 and foolishness is there, it comes out in a way that, okay, whatever, you can kind of figure it's not that big of a deal. But wait a minute, when they're 15, 20, 30, and the foolishness is coming out, it's very, very ugly. Do you understand why it's important for us to say, I'm not going to deviate from God's Word? I'm not going to use my mind to try to rationalize why God's Word isn't right. I'm going to trust God's Word. That what God says, I've got to do it. I cannot deviate from this. And though it may not make sense to me, though I might think, this is just, you know, old school and whatever, I've got to stick to God's Word. And when I stick to God's Word, guess what I have? Success. My way is prosperous. And boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but that convicts me. Because I don't know that I'm always strict about God's Word. Especially with me, it tends to be my personality type to just kind of fudge on the edges a little bit. And maybe you're like me on that. I am a last child, which we are the best. However, the youngest is always the best. But our weakness is we're not big rule followers. A lot of times, oldest children tend to be the rule followers. And that's a blessing in some ways. But listen, we all ought to be strict and rule followers about God's Word, not to be legalistic, like this is what's going to please God or earn my salvation. Man, I want to be successful. I want to come to the end of my life and be able to look back and not have as many regrets. So I need to be faithful to God's Word and be strict about it so that I can be successful. Let's move on. What do I need in order to be sure that I do the things that God's Word says so that I can seek success? What is it that I need to be sure that I do the word of God? Well, verse 6 and 7 says that we need two things. It says, be strong and of a good courage. Okay, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. Now look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. So according to verses 6 and 7, I need two things to be able to observe to do. And those two things are, number one, strength. Number two, courage. I need to work on those things in my life. I need to have strength. And what this insinuates, by the way, is that I am naturally weak in doing the word of God and obeying the law. Naturally, I'm weak. And isn't that what Jesus said to Peter? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know what we find in our lives as we try to obey the word of God? Oh, I'm weak. I am so weak. Now, I want to. The spirit is willing. There's this desire, and that's the spirit of God within me, by the way, the new man that God created. I want to do God's word. When I read his word in the morning, man, there's a fire in me that says, I want to obey this. I want to please God. But the flesh is so weak. When I get noon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 7 in the evening, I'm weak and all of my willpower is gone and I find myself giving into the flesh and doing what's easy for the flesh. So what I need is I need strength. Well, without turning there because of time's sake, in Matthew 26, you know the passage of scripture. What did Jesus tell Peter to do because the spirit was willing but the flesh was weak? Watch and pray. So guess what I need to do? If I want to observe to do the law and I need strength to do it, what should I do? Watch and pray. I need to be more of a man of prayer. I need to begin my day with prayer and say, Lord, I'm weak. I'm just like Peter in the garden. I have this desire and I'm saying, Lord, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. Though all men deny you, not me. Lord, that's me. But I know I'm just like Peter in the way too, that a maid can come to me and call me out as a follower of Jesus. And if the flesh is the one running the show, Lord, I'm going to deny you just like Peter did. Lord, would you strengthen me? Lord, would you give me strength for this day to observe, to do your word? Would you strengthen me, Lord? But not only do I need strength, I need courage. He says, be strong and very courageous. I need courage. Well, think about why I would need courage. Because the opposite of courage is fear or fearfulness. Now, the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's Proverbs 29:25. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. It is natural for me to not have courage, but rather have fear. And one of the things that will keep me from doing the word of God is fear of man. Can I show you that as an example in God's word? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Here is a man who is a great man of God. In fact, he is going to have a special place, I am sure, in heaven. And that is a man by the name of Aaron. What a special individual. The high priest of the Mosaic law. I mean, the one. The only one who is greater than him as far as being a high priest is the Lord Jesus. But other than that, I mean, outside of the Lord Jesus himself, it's Aaron. What a great individual, somebody that you and I should respect. But boy, you know, he was weak like we are. Look at Exodus 32. He needed courage and he didn't have it necessarily. Exodus 32, verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Can I tell you, by the way, what Aaron was doing there? He was compromising. He was compromising. He was not jealous over God. He was willing to take God's worship and mix it with heathen worship, and he wasn't strict about God's word. He wasn't doing what God told Joshua later on to do, verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Skip down now to verse 19, where Moses comes and confronts Aaron. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Verse 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And of course, you and I know that was a lie. But you know what we find here in Exodus chapter 32? We find a very great man of God who doesn't have the courage to be strict about God's law and to tell the people, no, we're not going to do that. That's convicting. Because I'll be honest, I have a hard time being hard on Aaron for that, because I know that I'm not always the way I should be either in leadership. And sometimes it's easy to fear the people and want to keep the people happy. And the people say, oh, make us gods. And it's easy to say, okay, I'll just compromise just a little. And you know, we all have that tendency, some more than others. But you know, we do that with our families, husbands. We do that with our wives and our children. And they want to do something and we know it's not right. We know it doesn't exactly fit with God's word. And we're afraid to maybe have somebody be mad at us or give us, you know, the silent treatment or whatever. And so we're not going to be strict according to God's word. And so we just kind of, just compromise just a little. Well, wait a minute. If we want to be prosperous, listen, we ought to be Holy Spirit filled, not calling on men to be jerks and, you know, thunder from the throne, so to speak, of the house and say, you know, I'm going to write man on my chest and you better do everything I tell you. No, I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you we should stand up for what's right and say, no, 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 sweetheart. No, no, no. Kids, no, we're not going to do that. And here's why. Here's what God's word says. And I love you and I'm going to be kind about it, but we're going to obey God. If we want to be prosperous, that's what we have to do. We need strength and we need courage. But there's two more things that we need. These won't be as long. Turn back to Joshua 1. Verse 8 mentions two more things that are needed. So the first two were strength and courage. They were in verses 6 and 7. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And then it says that thou mayest observe to do. So the two things listed, they're very closely related. They really probably could be one, but I put them as two. And that is, number one, the law should be in our mouth all the time. If I'm going to observe to do, not only do I need strength and I need courage, but I've got to get this book into this mouth all the time. To where, again, in my home, it's not just that I rule from the throne as a hypocrite and, you know, don't do as I do as I say. Oh, no. But rather that the word of God would saturate my life and saturate my mouth, so that when I'm talking to my children, I'm talking to my wife, or when I'm at work and I'm talking with my coworkers or whatever it might be that's my ministry, it's just the word of God is just oozing out because I'm saturated with it. I'm like a sponge. You just touch the sponge and water comes out because it's filled with water. That's what I should be with the word of God. Just open my mouth and something about the word of God comes out because it's in there. If I'm going to be prosperous and if I'm going to do it, I have to do that. Not only that, but then, of course, the next one, this is part of that same idea, but I have to meditate on it. It has to be my thought. Both of these are related to the fact that the heart is the key to our success. Proverbs 4:23, right, where it says that keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word of God has to be in my heart. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I've got to get God's word in my heart. That means, friends, that if I'm going to be prosperous, okay, I'm going to need courage and I'm going to need strength. But also, I'm going to have to be in this book all the time. And it's going to have to become a part of me. I'm going to have to meditate on it. That means I can only meditate on so many things. So I'm going to have to set some other things aside and get into this book. And I would encourage you to do the same. Why? Because we all want to be prosperous. We want God to be glorified in our lives. Let's pray and we'll close. Heavenly Father, how I thank you for your word and I thank you for what it says there. And Lord, I am imagining that the people that you've given me to pastor probably are a lot like me. And Lord, they struggle in these areas. They are weak and they're not very courageous. And Lord, they're not always meditating on your word as they should. Lord, I know that that's my case. And I admit before you, Lord, and before your people, I'm not strong. I'm much like Peter. The desire is there. And a lot of times I can convince myself that I'm strong, but Lord, I know really I'm weak because the flesh is weak. And Lord, I also know that I need courage. And Lord, I also need to be in your word more. I need to meditate on it more. And I thank you that you've talked to me about that. You've worked on me about that, Lord, but I want to improve more and more. I want to grow more and more in that area. And I know your people are with me on that, Lord. They want to also. So Lord, would you help us so that we could be successful, so that you could be glorified in the successful Christian life that we have. But oh Lord, would you make us people of the book? Would you help us to take seriously the things that you say, to not cut corners and just think that you'll be okay if we fudge the edges. But Lord, to understand that we are to be strict in our adherence to what you want us to do. And Lord, would you help us, I pray. Bless your people. Keep them safe as they go their separate ways here in just a little while. Lord, would you keep them safe from false doctrine? Would you heal those who are sick? Would you strengthen those who are weak and feeble? Lord, I thank you that you will. Help us remember to pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.